anyone can make a difference, and you never know where that help may come from and what impact it could have. This is Lisa Berry, and this is a story about how making connections with one another locally can cause a butterfly effect across the globe, and how Washtenaw County community members are linking together to change the world. My guest is Sarah Strader, who is going to explain to us in a minute what we're listening to. Welcome to 89.1 WEMU, Sarah.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Sarah is an Ann Arbor woman who received a scholarship in high school that sent her across the world, and she's now making a difference teaching preschool skills to children in Africa. So are you here in Ann Arbor on a break, or what's going on with you now?
Yes, I'm here in Ann Arbor working to actually prepare for an upcoming fundraiser that we're holding for the nonprofit that I run, which is called Chasing Two Rabbits at Once. We're having a 5K on October 9th.
All right, we've got a lot to get to there to explain all that. First of all, what are we listening to?
Sure. So this is a song called The Letter A Song, and we use this in the same way that Sesame Street uses educational songs to teach children about how to hear letter sounds in the words that are spoken orally. So this specific song is teaching children in the Baka language to hear the letter A in the words around them. And it's a pre-literacy skill that's fundamental to learning to read.
So describe the scene. How do they live? What is their life like?
Sure. So the children that we serve are known as the Baka. Pejoratively, they're called pygmies. So the quote-unquote pygmy population lives in the forests of Central Africa in Cameroon, Gabon, the Congo. But the population we serve is called the Baka. They're hunter-gatherers that live in the forests, surviving on hunting, fishing, gathering fruits.
This
and
might
nuts.
Sound like a. I was going to say, what are they hunting for?
Sure,
their lives, their livelihood, right? Sounds like
absolutely. They're hunting for anything that's running away. So that can be deer, or even snakes, hedgehogs, porcupines, wild rats. In the forest, there's a lot of wildlife, and so they eat the whole diversity of the spectrum of wild animals that are available there.
And here comes Sarah Strader from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And how did you get the scholarship in high school?
Sure. So my first experience in Africa came through an AFS, or American Field Service, exchange program, where I had the opportunity to go to Ghana and work in an orphanage outside of Accra, teaching in a school. Very small schoolhouse with two rooms for children age 4 to 16, one teacher for that whole population of students. And it was really my first view into the different needs that children have, and particularly in Africa. That experience was made possible through the generosity of Coco and Roger Newton through an anonymous scholarship that they offered at the time, and which I had the great opportunity to leverage to go. And I had the joy of meeting them later on to thank them in person. And we've continued that relationship ever since.
Well, you teach what we're hearing now. You're not teaching in English.
That's right. And it's also important to clarify, it's not me teaching. We have local community members in the villages where we work that deliver the lessons. And this content is all in the Baka language.
How did you learn that?
I learned it little by little. Actually, little kids are the perfect teachers for learning a new language, especially one that doesn't have written content at all.
So what are they saying?
So this song teaches French vocabulary. So the singer is naming different parts of the body in Baka and then naming them in French. And unfortunately, we can't see it, but there's an accompanying dance. So we have Jobo is your head, Labo is your eyes, Bangabo is your nose, and children are learning French vocabulary.
And you brought the device you teach it on. It's a hand crank MP3 player?
I did, yes. So given that we work in contexts without any electricity, without running water, without really, honestly, access to consistent solar power because of the shade in the forest, we needed some way to get this content that we've created to the children in a way that doesn't involve having a teacher read, say, a lesson book, because our lesson facilitators are not completely illiterate but have literacy difficulties as well. So in order to deliver consistently high quality content, we use these MP3 players that are powered entirely by a hand crank. At any point in the day or night, one of our teachers, one of our students can pick this device up, wind it up, and hear educational songs, stories, lessons, and games, all in their language and all based in the culture of the people. So based in the forest, using references that they're familiar with.
What is it like for you to grow up in Ann Arbor and live and work in Africa?
Well, that's really hard to say, but I've got a really hand it to people like Coco and Roger Newton that expand the world for people like me. I never would have imagined this was something that I would have the chance to do. And it was that first taste of this amazing just career area of and such an important area of need for children. Honestly, the greatest feeling I feel is gratitude every time I have the chance to work with these kids and to share their experience and be a part of their life coming from so far away. I am so humbled and really have to say thank you to all of the people, I guess you could say, tugging at the bootstraps of people like me and others.
Where do you sleep? Where do you live?
When I go visit the Baka, we live in what are called Mungaloos, which are, I guess the most familiar reference point would be a wigwam. It's a hut made of young saplings that you bend and weave into each other and to create a dome, and then you cover that with leaves. And that can be put up in between 2 and 4 hours, depending on how big they are. Since the Baka are nomadic, usually you'll go to a new camp, clear an area, build your Mungaloo, and that's where you'll sleep on the ground in the Mungaloo for...
What do you eat?
So we eat a range of things. Most recently when I was there, we had a lot of fish and also little small deer, which I don't know the word here, but there it's called the dengbe.
What do you crave back at from home when you're out there?
So I, of course, I missed my husband and my mom, but I've got to say that so due to deforestation and poaching and other activities that really disrupt the forest and disrupt their way of life, there's often really serious food scarcity. So I experienced hunger like I had never felt it before. And I actually, for safety reasons, brought a little pack of peanuts with me usually so that I could keep my blood sugar high enough to function. I was reading an article later talking about when you experience really extreme hunger or starvation that you start having a food fixation and food craving, and mine was Snickers bars.
Okay.
I was obsessively thinking about that.
We should mention, too, that Sarah, in between her visits to Africa to teach preschool skills to children who don't speak English, you're advancing your degree right now?
Yeah.
At some little school. I can't remember. Where is that again?
I'm currently a master's student at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. I'm studying international education policy with a focus on early childhood.
And trying to make a difference in the world.
Doing my best.
And you mentioned a fundraiser real quick?
Yes, October 9th, we'll have a 5K fun run, also a 1 mile fun run at Gallup Park.
And that's to raise money for your foundation, your
Absolutely.
Nonprofit?
Absolutely, yes, to raise money for Chasing Two Rabbits at Once. Anyone who's interested in finding out more about that can go to our website. It's chasingtworabbits.org.
And we'll put that on our website too as well, WEMU.org. Sarah Strader, what a gift and pleasure to meet you. Thanks so much for joining us on 89.1 WEMU.
Thank you so much for having me.